James is getting on the sound.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for this day, Lord God. We do thank you that you've created all things. I thank you that you have created all of us. We thank you that you have brought us all here for such a time as this. And Father God, it is our desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray that you will inhabit the praises of your people this day. Lord Jesus, we do come to worship you, Lord God. And that is our desire, Lord Jesus. Father God, we pray for those that are still in route. Lord God, I pray for protection. Pray for those who are not able to be here this day. Lord Jesus, we pray that they would have peace in their home. Lord God, I thank you for the challenges, and I thank you for the successes and the answers of prayer this past week. We love you and praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh,
do pray that your will be done, Lord God. I just pray this morning, Lord, that you have your way in our hearts, Lord. This might be the first time, Lord God, hearing your Spirit speak to us, Lord God. This may be many years of hearing your Spirit speak to us, Father. I pray, Lord God, that we just understand that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord God. There's none higher, there's none lower, Lord God. We are all here. Father, we're servants of you. And I pray, Lord God, that you just speak to us, Lord God. Whether it be a word of correction, Lord, whether it be a word of just how much you love us, Lord God, and the affirmation, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that our hearts will be open and our ears will be open to you, Father. Help us to worship you this morning, Lord God. Help us to get rid of any distractions, Lord. Not have to worry about even having to teach in a little while, Lord God, or even what we're going to do later on today, Lord, or what we have to do this week for work, Father. I pray that we just lay that all down. Help us to soak in your Spirit, Father. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Lord God, I just thank you, Father. Lord, I was neck deep in sin, Lord God. I was so close to just not turning, not even having that chance, Lord God, of being able to follow you, Father. And you pulled me out, Lord God. I thank you so much for that, Father. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that feels like they are not just neck deep, but even just head deep, Lord God, that they can't get out, Father, I pray, Lord God, you speak to them right now, Father. And let them know your grace, Lord God. That grace runs deep, Father. None of us deserve it, Father, but you give it out, Lord. Help us just to reach our hand out and just to grab yours so we can be pulled out, Father. And help us to understand how we do need you every hour. I don't know about everybody else here, Lord, but I need you every hour. I'm calling out to you every hour. Whether it's to praise you for giving me a good hour, or whether it's to cry out and say, Lord God, I can't handle this, Lord. Help me to have a better hour next hour, Lord. Help us just to practice doing that, Father, crying out to you all the time.
Yes.
The Lord is never going to fail you in his love. He's never going to turn his back on you. Everyone, I'm going to fail you. My husband's going to fail me. We are always going to fail each other, but God is not going to fail you. He's always going to be there for you. He's always going to give you that strength when you ask in his will. When we ask according to his will, he is not going to ignore us. He loves us. Just like if my son or daughter would ask me for breakfast, I'm not going to say no, tough luck. He loves us. He cares about us. He wants to take care of us. Father, help us to cry out to you, Lord God. Help us to understand that you're not going to fail us, Lord. And Lord God, help us to have grace for others when they do fail us, Lord. And have us understand, Lord, that we're not going to be perfect either, Lord God. That we can't always be others' strength, Lord God. But that we have to encourage others to seek you, Father, for what they need, Lord. Because I know I can't fill all those gaps for my husband or for my children, Lord. You have to do that, Lord.
gracious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, spirit.
So many things that this world is hungering for, Lord. We're hungering for love. We're hungering for approval and grace and healing, Lord God. We want all of these things, Lord God, and we look for it in all the wrong places, Father. We look for it in man. We look for it in each other, Lord. Help us just keep our eyes on you, Father. Help us to focus on you, Father, and speak to us today, Lord. I thank you, Father, just for bringing Mike here today, Lord God, just to teach us. And, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you just use him, Lord, and I pray, Father, that you just speak through him, Lord, and that here today, Lord, we'll have hearts to hear, Lord God. Our hearts will be open to what you want to teach us today, Father. In your name we pray, amen. Amen.
Oh, actually, it's going to go from my hook and my hook and your mom. Hey, Amy, answer.
Here, here.
All right. Well.
Oh, his up first or yours up first?
Actually, you put mine up first, and then we'll just go through that real quick.
Some of the announcements really quickly, and then we'll let Michael while he's getting hooked up. We'll let him share the link. Well, first, you made it. We're glad you're here. So God got you here for a reason.
Amen.
We have a couple of announcements. Thanks, George. Mm-hmm. A couple of announcements to go through. Oh, yes, that's right. First, we've got, apparently, those of you who weren't here last week, apparently they've been recording me for the last month or so. Sneaky. So anyway, if you want teachings from the last about month or two as we ended the book of Nehemiah, or the beginning of the book that we're studying now, we go through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so everybody knows what it says in context. And so if you would like a copy of that, just speak to George. George, can you raise your hand? And he will get you a CD and give you that in Jesus' name. And yes, somebody cornered me last week. They said, are we going to start putting these on the web? And the answer, of course, after about six people rebuked me, was yes. Okay, we only have three of these left. I've given out a zillion of them. But if you're new this morning, this is a little pamphlet. It's a tiny little booklet called My Heart, Christ's Home. It's really cool by a guy by the name of Rubberboy Munger. InterVarsity has put it out. If you have not received one of these and you would like one of these, I'd like to give it to you in Jesus' name. Okay, one over here. Okay, come on. Okay. Okay. All right. A couple of Bible studies I'm just going to mention real quick. Oh, get that next week. I'll get to that next week, too. Next week. If you guys would like to join us here for prayer in the morning, there's a little group of people that just get together, and what they're doing Sunday mornings is they're praying for you. They're praying for the children's ministry. They're praying for the worship team. They're praying for each person here in the body. And so if you would like to join us at about 9:30, we would love to have you come out and just to pray for one another, for this community, for this body. Also, the first Monday of each month at 7 p.m., there's a chronic support group, and Carrie is in charge of that today. Carrie, I don't see Carrie today. But anyway, Carrie is in charge of that today, and someone just came up to me last week and says, "You have to say more about that chronic support group. I went to it last week, and man, I was really down, I was really exhausted, and God really used it. God really set my heart and my focus on Him, and just rearranged my thoughts, rearranged what I was thinking and how I was thinking. It was a great time. You've got to share that." So I just did. And so if you're at all interested in that, give Carrie a call, or Lord Will should be here next week, but that's the first Monday of each month. Also, women's study is not this week, right? Men's study. Carrie?
Yes.
I knew it. Yes. Okay, this week is the men's study and dinner, and that's this Tuesday at 6 p.m., and that we're going through the book of James. I think we're in James chapter 5. And so all the guys in it, it's such a great time. Honestly, it's just a little group of guys, but it's an awesome group. It's a place where the men can kind of go and share really what's going on and be real with one another. And I shared this, I don't know if I shared it last week or something, but, you know, last week it was just such an amazing time. And somebody was just saying, "Man, I could just be so, you guys are so real here. You're so honest." And I was like, well, that's right. That's what we're trying to be, as we need to be as believers. And somebody else was saying, "You guys are becoming my best friends just because we're having that intimate time together in the Bible study and sharing and prayer." And so thank God for that men's group. And so just want to encourage you to come out Tuesday, this Tuesday at 6 p.m. Whosoever's youth group, Manatee County Youth for Christ. And then also the marriage Bible study, that's here Thursdays, 6:30 to 8:30. And that child care is provided. And that's here on Thursdays. And then praise and prayer, it's Friday Forum. And this Friday, it's just Friday Christian Forum, and that's going to be at Sue Berger's house. Or Diane's? Okay, so it's going to be at Sue Berger's house. And so you guys are welcome to come. It's a little small group. They've got a great little group there just for Christian discussion and fellowship. And so you're welcome to come to that. Okay, I think that's it. We're not going to start the book of Titus. My friend Michael, will you come up here? If I had a little bit more time, I was going to put an old, we've been best friends for many years, so I was going to put an old picture of Michael and embarrass him, but I couldn't get it done in time, so.
Michael, I'm so glad you're out of
time. I bet. So I'm going to take a minute, and I'm just thankful for my friends, so let's just all pray. Father, we just thank you for Michael, Lord God. We thank you for, we thank your hope, and just thankful for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that changed his life, Lord God. That changed his direction, that changed his mind, that changed his heart, that changed his desires, Lord God. Lord, that put him on a course, Lord, to live a life to honor you and to glorify you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So thank you for what you've done in my life, in our life, and many people here, Lord God. We ask, Lord, that you would do that same thing, Lord, in each and every person that's here today, Lord God. I believe you kept some folks away, and you brought other peoples here today for a reason. And so I pray in Jesus' name right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would just give him an unction, Lord God. That you would give him eyes to see and a tongue to speak, Lord God, whatever your spirit has to say. And if it's not on his notes, I pray that he wouldn't even bother, Lord, he would just speak what you would have him to speak, Lord God. And I pray that you would give us each year listening ears to whatever your Holy Spirit wants to hear, Lord God. And I pray a blessing over each person here, Lord. You know now who's hurting. You know the message that needs to be heard, Lord God, whether it is corrective or encouraging or all of the above, Lord God. We just want to be open to what you, God, have to say to each one of us personally, Lord. I thank you, my God, my Lord, my Savior, my friend. Lord, thank you and bless this time and bless my friend in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for that. Darren is the closest person in my life to a brother. I now have known Darren for going on well over 3 decades, and he and I have gone through quite a bit. We knew each other when we were not Christians, and we were incredibly rebellious, and we had our hearts set on many other things. And through different events, I came to Christ first, and I remember inviting Darren to different church events, to which he fought me aggressively. And the big turning point that I'll share with you in Darren's life, I still remember it to this day. I invited him to a revival, an old tent revival. He was kicking and screaming to go. And the preacher had the snakeskin boots, the cowboy hat, and he preached this really tough message, and he challenged the person who God was working on to come forward, and Darren was stirring in his seat, and he refused to move. And I watched him, and I saw his fist clenched, and he was just grinding his teeth. And then the preacher said, "You might have a friend that is unwilling to take that step of faith, and maybe you need to come forward as an example to him." And then I could see Darren stirring even more. "Don't you dare go up there. Don't you dare go up there." And I went up there. And then finally, Darren comes forward, and he went forward like this. And he was just fighting all the stuff away. Well, he came to know the Lord. And God changed his heart. And his life. And I remember it was said of me, the person that was really instrumental in my life in helping me find a relationship with God, introduced me to someone that they hoped would play a role in helping me along that process and that journey. And that person returned to my friend saying, her name was Lynn. "Lynn, I don't know about this guy. Don't be too disappointed if he never comes around, because he's going to be a tough nut to crack." So Darren and I, as brothers, were two peas in a pod in our personalities. Today I'm going to share with you from the book of Ecclesiastes, authored by King Solomon, one of the wisest individuals to have ever walked the earth. And to give you a review of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, one of the wisest individuals to have ever lived, had everything in life that you would materially want. In addition to that, spiritually, he started out in his life incredibly strong with a beautiful relationship with God. At one point, though, he suddenly just reached this odd decision to decide to pursue vanity. He decided to indulge in all of the fleshly pleasures this world had to offer. And so he went on this quest to search out pleasures to see how that would work for him. He ends up describing this as a vanity of vanities, meaningless, utterly meaningless. He said that really everything at that point was meaningless. He reached this point of despair, where he looked around life after this vain pursuit, and he could no longer find any satisfaction or meaning in anything. So, up until this chapter that we're going to look at, there are different portions of Ecclesiastes that resemble Proverbs, where he's giving us axioms, principles, to guide us in life. He's also describing some of the realities of life and how the world functions, some of his observations. But this particular passage is unique, and it's one that I don't hear preached very often. To give you a preview of what we're going to look at today is in chapter 11, verses 7 through 10, Solomon is going to admonish us strongly that we should rejoice while we can, to really enjoy life while we have opportunity to. And then when we move to chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, Solomon's going to challenge us to consciously remember God. And throughout our life, consciously remember God. Why? Because life is fleeting, he says. And he's going to describe that in a rather graphic way using allegory. And it's going to be an interesting passage. Let me read these verses in their entirety, and then we will dive in and look at them individually. Starting with verse 7, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. In chapter 12, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. Let me pray. Lord, as we go through these particular verses, I pray that you will help me be true to your word and true to your heart. I pray, Father, that you will teach each of us, that you will give us that ability to introspect in an honest way, and that as a result of that introspection, as a result of your love, your word, your Holy Spirit, that we will come into a deeper relationship with you, and that you will grow and mature us and refine us. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So looking at this particular verse, starting with verse 7 and verse 8. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many, and all that comes is vanity. In the Bible, light is often synonymously used for life. And what Solomon is saying is here, he's giving us a comparison, and he's saying, just as it is enjoyable, pleasant for our human eyes to behold the beauty that is revealed by that sun, so similarly, our lives ought to be enjoyed. We ought to take pleasure in the days that we are alive. Solomon is saying life is sweet here, and it really should be embraced with joy. If you happen to be one of those individuals, he says, I'm using a very different remote here. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. If you happen to be one of those individuals that is given a long life, Solomon's admonition here is enjoy all of those years, all of those days. Make the decision to take pleasure in them all. Make the most of it. Now, why is it then that he's talking to us about enjoying life and to consciously make an effort to take pleasure in life? He gives us that answer when he says that there are days of darkness that are ahead. Now, I don't know about your experience, but my experience is that as I've gotten older, I've seen many days of darkness. Can you testify to that? Has life revealed that to you? So when you're young and you're looking at the future, young person, understand something, the reality, that there are days of darkness that are ahead of you, challenging days marked by adversity, stress, difficulty, defeat, discouragement. In fact, one of the biggest miscommunications from the pulpit is that there are preachers that will say, come to Jesus, give your life to Jesus, and if you do, he's going to make your life this roller coaster ride of ease, this luxury cruise, and that at that point, your life is just set ease back in your recliner and enjoy all the goodness. That's not what God promised us. In fact, Jesus himself said, in this day you will have many troubles. Many troubles. But then he gives us the hope that follows that. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The promise of becoming a Christian isn't a life of leisure, isn't a life absent of difficulty, of defeat, of turmoil. It is the promise that God will be there with us. Be of good cheer, for Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And if we place our trust in him who has overcome the world, we can survive those difficult days. We can make it through and navigate through the challenges of life. So we live with a unique comfort that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. So Solomon is saying, given the realities that life gets increasingly more challenging, make the most of them. Enjoy them while you can. In verse 9, he continues this theme. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know for all of these things, God will bring you into judgment. So Solomon is saying, rejoice right now. If you are young, enjoy your youth. In fact, he uses personification, given an inhuman object, human-like qualities, and he draws this picture for us of the heart acting as a cheerleader and shouting, enjoy, have fun, embrace life, take the gusto of life. Our heart is screaming, have fun, O young man, have fun, O young woman, embrace it, take advantage of it. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. The New American Standard translates that part in this way. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desire of your eyes. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get too concerned, that sounds pretty controversial. Sounds as if, hey, just do whatever you want and have all the fun you want to have and just indulge in some hedonistic way. But before we reach that false conclusion, he gives us the limitations. He says, but know for all these things, God will bring us into judgment. He will judge our actions. So we are to make an attempt to enjoy life to its fullest, keeping in mind, though, that moderation, temperance, godliness, those are the adjectives that should describe our actions, our character, that should define who we are as we enjoy the world around us. in verse 10, he says, remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Solomon recognizes that for young people, there is a particular indulgence that is attractive to the young. And that tends to be found in physical relationships, in immoral relationships. And he's addressing that here. He says, remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. He's talking about avoiding immorality and those kinds of relationships that end up ripping our heart, leaving us in anger, embittered, and in some cases, in physically bad states. And he continues saying that the youth and the dawn of life are vanity, meaning the time that we are young and the time that we are old passes quickly. Both of them do. For me, my experience is that I blinked, and now I'm the age that I remember calling my parents old. I still remember when Pastor Darren and I were kids, as if it was yesterday, and he and I would look so forward to getting together at his mom's house, where we would force everyone out of the room so that we could watch a Star Trek episode and then enjoy this amazing pasta dinner afterwards. I blinked, and here we are 3 decades later, and I'm wondering, where did the time go? Youth in old age, the dawn of life, our vanity. So Solomon has just encouraged us to make the most out of life, but providing that limitation that as we do, we ought to remember that our sins will be judged, and therefore to make sure that our actions align with God's plan. Looking at chapter 12, what we're going to examine in chapter 12 is Solomon is going to tell us to remember God in our youth, similar to what he's already been saying to us. Then he's going to describe with allegory the process of aging and leading up to a description of what death looks like. It's rather somber, to tell you the truth, the way he describes it, but it's helpful to us. So in anticipation of those verses, please do not despair. And he is going to make the conclusion that life is fleeting. But we will talk about that as well. So in chapter 12, verse 1, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. While you are young, remember God. The key word in this particular verse is the first one. Remember. Remember, remember. Remember also your Creator. The Hebrew word that is rendered remember has much more to do with action than it does simple recollection, cognition, recall. This is an action word that more correctly could be transferred cause to remember, that we should be intentional, deliberate, and within ourselves cause ourselves to remember our Creator. Well, it begs the question, how do we do that? How do we cause ourselves to remember our Creator? Well, there are a couple of ways. These are the Christian disciplines of life, aren't they? One of the ways we could do that is through prayer. When we choose to humble ourselves before God, to get on our knees, to close our eyes and silence our thoughts and just speak to God, we are causing ourselves to remember Him. We're communicating with the Creator of the world, with our Heavenly Father. We are hearing from Him, and He is hearing from us. How else can we cause ourselves to remember? When we choose acts of service, when we deliberately go to places where we can serve God, we are causing ourselves to remember. When we come to church, knowing that the Word of God is going to be opened up to us, we are causing ourselves to remember our Creator. And in doing so, there's an extreme benefit to us. Of course, there's that intimate relationship, but there are so many practical benefits in how he ministers to us in guiding and directing us and shaping us and cautioning us and giving us the wisdom and the sensibilities that apart from him we would never have. When we tell others about him and give testimonials about how he has been good to us, we are causing ourselves to remember our Creator. When we fellowship and invite other believers into our life, into our home for a meal, for a coffee, we are causing ourselves to remember him. And Solomon says for us to do this before the evil days come. What is he referring to as far as the evil days? What would you think? Yes?
Tribulation.
Okay. And those are definitely, that's definitely part of what he's talking about. Good answer. What else do you think? Yes?
The challenges of life.
Yes. Specifically, aging is what he's going to start to give us some more information about. Absolutely. He's telling us to remember God before we reach these days, before we come to a point where we arrive at days in which we describe them as days that we take no pleasure in. So the further along we go in our life journey, there are physical consequences to being in this world that we will suffer. And some of them, Solomon says, are so bad that we will take no pleasure in them. In those days, these evil, difficult days that Solomon is referring to, those aren't days that you're going to suddenly jump up and say, hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm just going to be glad in it. And hey, how are you doing, brother? How are you doing, sister? Oh, everything's great. Praise God. I'm just feeling wonderful. No, those days are so bad that for you to even utter a sacrifice of praise is a victory. When your body is falling apart, when you are suffering in some of the most horrible ways, it is a great victory to be able to look up and say, Lord, despite my circumstances, I trust you. Despite all of these things that are afflicting me, God, I still hope in you and place my trust in you. But these are difficult days, and he's described them here correctly, hasn't he? For those of you that know what they're like, I certainly do. So he said, remember your Creator in your youth. And these are the different ways that we have to do that. So continuing this theme, remember your Creator in your youth. In verse 2 he says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. Here he begins the allegory that I mentioned. And as we go through these particular verses, I want you to start to think about what might he be referring to in the allegory. Some are a little more intuitive and others are rather challenging to arrive at. But here, the sun, the moon, and the stars refers to the decreasing brightness and enjoyment in life as one ages. And that is consistent with the realities of life. Clouds returning after the rain are referring to those illnesses that we get and we go through treatments, medications, procedures to get over them, and just when we think we're over them, like clouds, they come back. And you're suddenly facing them again and wondering, oh my goodness, I thought that was over with. Verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed. What would you think the house represents, and the keepers of the house represents? I heard body. Yes, the body, yes. Absolutely. The house is the human body. And the keepers of the house, then, are the arms and the hands. Why are they trembling? Because in old age, there are different infirmities that can reach us, such as Parkinson's disease, where you no longer have control of the movement. It's an involuntary shaking and trembling. And that is something that happens to some as a result of age. What about the next one? Strong men are now bent over. What is that referring to?
Much better.
Yeah. Absolutely. You got it. Strong men are now bent over. Their thighs, their legs are getting weak. Their back is suffering from scoliosis. Their spine is twisting. And they're hunched over. Yes. Now, what about the grinders cease because they are few? Yes. Good one. The grinders cease because they are few. In old age, teeth start falling out. And suddenly, you don't have as many teeth to grind to masticate the food. Yeah, it happens. What about this one? And those who look through the windows are dimmed. What are your thoughts on that one? Absolutely, yes. And in fact, this is the first time in my life, and I remember having a conversation with Darren about this, that all of a sudden, overnight, it just seemed the light switch went off, and now I'm doing this, you know? And I have these. This is the first time ever preaching that I'm bringing these glasses, because now I know it's a reality for me that I need to have them. Yeah, the eyes are growing dim. Vision loss. The person is suffering from glaucoma, cataracts, macular degeneration, age-related conditions. Verse 4. And the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of Sodom are brought low. So let's look at those. The doors of the street are shut. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think that might be?
It's harder to get around wheelchairs.
Okay, what else? What are other thoughts?
Memories.
I would almost think it might be almost, if you're counting on, say, family members to maybe assist, whatever, the doors might not be wide open, saying, oh, there's big trouble coming.
That's a good one. Yes, what else? Yes.
Maybe they don't go out anymore.
Okay, what else?
Your ears.
Ears, okay. And okay. The doors are shut. The doors of the street are shut. This is actually referring to the lips and the mouth. Because there are different problems that happen, difficulties in speech that occur as you age, shortness of breath. So whereas in your youth, we are vibrant and communicating and yelling and shouting, not so much when you're a senior citizen and you have less to speak about. The sound of the grinding is low. We already talked about the grinding, about the loss of teeth, but the sound of grinding is low because as one ages, they're experiencing loss of appetite and the kinds of food that they're eating is different than what they were eating in their youth. So there are a lot more need to eat softer foods, broken down, in some cases blended. So the sound of the grinding is low. What about the rising up at the sound of a bird?
Can't sleep.
Yes, can't sleep. As you age, some people experience some episodes of insomnia. And some people, in general, just become very light sleepers. And they'll wake up at the drop of a hat. So they will wake up and hear the birds chirping outside. And, of course, the daughters of Song are brought low. This is referring to the combined faculties that surround the enjoyment of music. So if you were once able to sing as a soprano in your youth, well, your voice changes as your vocal cords age, and you're not able to sing that way as you're advanced in age. And with hearing loss, you're no longer able to enjoy the sound of music to the same degree that you could when you were at your prime. So Solomon continues to paint a rather grim picture of old age. And let's look at what he says in verse 5. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors in the way. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags itself along and desire fails. So the first part of that. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors are in the way. What are your thoughts on that? What could that be referring to? Yes.
Just height?
Yes. Older people tend to be less adventurous and danger-seeking the older they get. They're not really wanting to stand on high ladders because now to fall isn't a matter of rubbing oneself and saying, wow, that hurt, and you go on your merry way. Now you're looking at potential hip replacement just because you slipped on a curb. And for that reason, after a couple of episodes like that happening in one's life, one tends to become even overly cautious and in some instances even afraid. No, I don't want to do that because I don't want to hurt myself. Oh, no, no, we can't go there. Oh, no, something happens to me. And there's a fear that comes to some people. What about the almond tree blossoms?
Allergies?
That's a good guess. Yes.
Gray hair.
Yes, gray hair. Yes, the almond tree blossoms. This is a unique tree. Its blossoms actually turn. They change from gray to white. Sound familiar?
No.
I look in the mirror, and I used to be a bright redhead, and now I'm experiencing a little bit of some blossoming. And when I blink again, I'm sure I'm going to see the white of the blossoms. What about the next one? The grasshopper. So the grasshopper drags itself along. What about that one?
Too slow.
Yes, you're not as nimble as you once were. Back in our youth, back when you were a kid, you're running, you're jumping, you're skipping. If you go to any department store and you see parents with kids, the parents are walking and the kids are skipping and jumping and darting along. And that was easy to do. And then you're suddenly in your prime and you're running track and you're sprinting and you're performing hurdles. But now, the person that was once so nimble, so quick, is now shuffling along with the aid of a walker in need of additional support in order to move from point A to point B. What about desire fails?
Don't go there.
Don't go there. She knows what it's talking about. That is correct. Desire fails. Now, this verse is interesting. In the New American Standard, it reads, and the caperberry is ineffective. Back in the old world, caperberries were considered to be aphrodisiacs. And it says here, the caperberry is ineffective. And it is the reality of life that as one ages, that area of the libido declines with age. There is not the same level of testosterone in a man's body, and a woman's body is also affected in that area as well. Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from the Harvard Medical School Journal that I really like. Many older men think about sex, but don't have the drive to put theory into practice.
God
And the reality of this, which Solomon is describing, is evidenced that sales of Viagra, that product, average around $2 billion a year in sales. Here's another quote. I was raised in Chicago. Actually, Darren is also from Chicago. In the Chicago Tribune, there was a columnist named Ann Landers that would post columns, statements, and answer questions that people would submit to the editor. Interestingly enough, I found out just recently that she was a fictitious person. She never actually existed. It was a fictitious name, but other writers would take on the correspondence. Ann Landers, in one of the columns, writes, inside every 70-year-old is a 35-year-old asking, what happened? How many of you could relate to that? I ask myself very often now, what happened? And that question seems to come more when I'm looking in the mirror. I'm looking at this face that is looking back at me, and the hairline's a little higher than what I remember it should be. There are more lines in the form of wrinkles than I think there ought to be. And some things are starting to sink and sag, and I'm wondering what happened. Solomon describes it well. Time, aging, this process. So he concludes this particular verse there by saying, because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. What is the eternal home?
Heaven or hell.
Heaven or hell, yeah, death. We're talking about death now. And the mourners go about the streets. Why are they going about the streets? There's a funeral procession on. That's why the mourners are going about the streets. So at this point, Solomon is going to move into... He's going to move into the last stages of life that precede death. And then he's going to talk about death. So, before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Let's look at those allegories. The silver cord snapped. What might that be referring to?
Spinal?
Yes, the spinal cord. You have these vertebrae that are now brittle, degenerating discs, and at older age, you're now suddenly getting your spinal cord twisted out of alignment, injured, and potentially snapped. The golden bowl that is broken, what does that possibly refer to?
The body.
Your head.
Yes, your head. Yes. The golden bowl is referring to the brain. And, of course, as one gets older, what do we experience? Many experience dementia, Alzheimer's, fading cerebral capacities. The pitcher that is shattered at the fountain is referring to the lung that's lost its capacity to take in air and exhale air. This is a really beautiful picture here. The wheel that is broken at the well is referring to the heart. So imagine a wheel at a well that's turning and turning and turning in order to draw and move water. Well, the heart, when it starts to fade, loses its ability to move blood through your body. And now he moves to the topic of death. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. This reminds me of what we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. God initiated humankind from dust. From dust he created us. After the fall in the garden, when God is pronouncing to Adam judgment in 3:19, God says, by the sweat, Adam, of your face, you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That is the end. We started in dust, we end in dust. And he concludes in verse 8, after describing this somber picture of aging, failing health, and ultimately culminating in death. He says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Meaningless, what's the purpose? Now, keep in mind what I said earlier. Solomon began this journey by deciding to just enjoy pleasure without restraint. To do that is to really walk away from God's plan. So, outside of God's plan, outside of walking with Him intimately, the kinds of decisions that we make do lead us to that conclusion, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Meaningless, meaningless. All is meaningless. So are you ready to join me for a cry? Have I utterly depressed you today? Save those tears for another day. We don't need to cry just yet. Why would Solomon take us through this process of describing age in such a way that is so really depressing? Well, it is only when we are on the subject of death that we truly introspect in a way that no other event causes us to. It is when we go to a funeral that we start asking ourselves some of the most honest, penetrating questions we can ask ourselves. What am I doing? What am I doing? Here I'm at this funeral, this person's life is over. What am I doing? How am I living? What is it that I'm doing that is meaningful? What legacy am I leaving behind? Am I really making a difference? Am I living up to my potential? Have I made the right kinds of choices in my life? What are my priorities? Where will I go when that in the box is me? Those are important questions for us to ask. That kind of honest, raw spiritual inventory is the kind of process that leads us to look up to God and say, God, apart from you, all is vanity. I need a relationship with you. I need your salvation. I need your Son. I need your Spirit. And in your Son, by your Spirit, according to your word, I can live a life that I can be so proud of and look forward to one day hearing those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." To be welcomed into heaven and to look back and to see the lives that we touched, to see that godly legacy. Life is fleeting. Life is hopeless without God. But with God, He gives us that meaning. We find who we are when we find our Creator and we allow Him to define that for us. I want to give you some application from this particular passage that we've gone through. Application number one is, rejoicing is for today. Rejoicing isn't for tomorrow. It's for today, according to what Solomon said, all the way in verse 8. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. What are you waiting for right now? What is preventing you right now from enjoying life? Consider for a moment, just in this room, what there is for us to rejoice about. Right now, we are in a room where you are privileged enough to be a part of a church where the Word of God is being taught. That's something to rejoice about. It is something to rejoice about that there are people here that are like-minded, wanting to pursue God, wanting to come and hear from His Word. That is something to rejoice with. What about when you step outside and you look around and you actually have eyes that can still see the beauty around you, and you have lungs to take in the air? That is something to rejoice with. Not all of you know me. In fact, I think few of you really know me and know what my story is. There was a point in my life 30 years ago where I was terminally ill. I was suffering from stage 4 cancer. It had spread to my lungs, my heart, my spleen had gotten corrupted. I weighed less than 100 pounds. I was completely bald. You could see the skeletal outline of my face. My arms and legs were all toothpicks, except for my left leg, which was inflamed like this, because I had a blood clot this long. And for those of you that are familiar with what a blood clot can do, a blood clot this tiny could kill you. Mine was this long, and it was a ticking time bomb waiting to kill me. Through various circumstances, I was given 1 week to live where I was certain that after 7 days, I would be dead. Now, not to spoil the ending, I didn't die. But, you should be afraid if I died 30 years ago. But anyway, I remember having that week. And what would you do if you knew for certain you had 1 week left to live? What I did, I was told, go ahead.
I said, I go skydiving.
You have nothing to lose at that point, right? Amen. There you go. Well, what I did, given 1 week left to live, I decided I wanted to say goodbye to the people that I cared about. I had 7 days, so I started getting on the phone and calling my friends and saying, just wanted to let you know, I love you. I appreciate you, and I want to thank you for being a friend in my life. And I did that every day. But in addition to that, I remember going to the beach. At that time, I lived in Florida. And I was walking on the beach. I took my shoes off. And I was letting the sand just go through my toes. And I was closing my eyes and feeling every grain of sand as it touched my feet. And then I took a deep breath in, and I held it in such a way that I could taste the air. I started to look around me in ways that I'd never looked before. I remember sitting down on the ground and watching a blade of grass and admiring its architecture, looking at ants walk in formation, and my eyes were just watering. I was seeing the world for the first time through eyes that could see. Up until then, I'd taken all of these things for granted because I always assumed they were there. I tell you that that began for me a habit, which I call taking snapshot moments, where what I do in creating those daily snapshot moments, I make it a point, I'm intentional about this, to regularly stop and in my mind let the camera click and take in that moment and savor it. Regardless of how crazy and hectic my schedule is, how busy I am, I'm very intentional and consistent at stopping and saying, this moment, I'm taking a mental picture, I'm absorbing this moment, and I am enjoying it. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. You know, in this trip, this is a very short trip for me, I was able to get together with a friend I haven't seen in 3 decades. And I remember just a couple of days ago sitting with a lovely friend and just taking multiple snapshot moments and just enjoying. I'm here with a friend that I've not communicated with in 30 plus years. Let me just savor the beautiful moment of reconnecting with a friend. Yesterday I was on a boat with a friend of mine. And I just looked over and saw the sky and saw pelicans. And I just stopped and I said, I'm going to take a moment and just enjoy this moment. Last night, I was at Pastor Darren's home. And I was looking over at his beautiful kids. And I just took a mental snapshot moment because I'm not a part of their life like I would like to be. So I just enjoyed looking at them and seeing what fine, godly young men they are growing to be. And I savored it. And that was something that I plan to keep for my life. I want to encourage you to be intentional about taking those daily snapshot moments. Again, it doesn't mean that we have to jump up and down and cheer every day, because those days of darkness are many, aren't they? But as believers, having the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God inside of us, we can step outside of that particular moment and just enjoy that we are still in the game. God has still given us breath. so there's something for us to enjoy. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Another application. Practice wise living. Remember, Solomon has kept saying over and over again, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. So embrace choices if we're going to rejoice. Embrace the kinds of choices that do result in a godly legacy. Practice wise living. Have fun, but practice wise living. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver and gold. We are, especially as Christians, to live a life in such a way, recognizing that we will give an account. So we are to make the kinds of choices that when we have to give an account for our actions, we can do so with a clear conscience and say, yes, God, let me tell you what I did here. Let me explain to you my motives behind this. And that's just walking with the Lord. It's going to be a natural fruit of your life, is to practice wise living. Thirdly, remember your Creator. Solomon makes it clear everything is meaningless except when God is part of the equation. So, actively seek Him, actively serve Him, actively talk to Him, actively keep Him in your mind. Remember your Creator. If we do these things, we can avoid the pitfalls that Solomon ultimately experienced. If we do these things, we have peace, joy, even if life is challenging. And while life is brief, it can be absolutely meaningful. If you find yourself in a situation right now and you're thinking, but you know what, it's too late. It's not too late. It is never too late to start your relationship with God, to find meaning, to find peace that surpasses understanding, to be cleansed, to be strengthened, to be edified, to be refined, to be shaped into His image. I close with the following prayer to you, which is one of my favorite prayers in the Old Testament. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Michael, would you come? Oh, sorry about that. Would you come up here and have a seat for just a second?
Thanks.
Technology is wonderful.
You know, as you were speaking, you know, I was remembering back to the time when I remember when you were 84 pounds. This actually was his weight. And when he says he looked like a skeleton, literally, that's exactly what he was. You know, but more importantly than even the physical healing that God did, a supernatural healing in your life, and gave you more time for you to share the gospel, and to even more than that, knowing you for so long, one of the most amazing things to me, even more so honestly than the physical healing that God did, was the spiritual healing that God did when you became born again. And I remember distinctly keep thinking, well, I wonder when this born again thing's going to wear off. So, you know what I mean? I just didn't know any better. And I thought, oh, I wonder when this religious thing is going to be over, that kid.
That I was going through a phase.
Basically, yes. And you know, when I hear about some of the things you're saying, and then I think about the scripture verse, you know, when you're talking about purpose for your life and a plan for your life, and I think about the Jeremiah verse that says, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And that they were going through a hard time. They were in captivity at that time. And then he says, God goes on to say, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Mm-hmm. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I guess I just don't want to leave today without you specifically. If there was one thing that you had to share with some folks here, that they know you, they've walked with the Lord for 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. But there's some folks that that God has brought here that maybe like me, I grew up in the church, but I didn't really know Jesus personally. I knew a lot about him, right? But I didn't know him personally. I didn't have that relationship, that life-giving, that perspective-changing, that direction-changing relationship with God that made everything change in my life. Mm-hmm. Not kind of cleaning myself up from the outside to try to be more nicer, but God changing me from the inside. Mm-hmm. Would you just share, before we close, just maybe that message of hope to someone here who maybe doesn't know the Lord in that life-giving, life-changing way, and then if you would just close us out in a prayer.
Sure.
That would be great.
Sure. Okay. Absolutely. God says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone opens that door, I will come into him and he to me. It is a beautiful invitation. God, Creator, Father in heaven, he is inviting us to have a relationship with him. We simply just have to take the step of faith and to invite him in. He's made an invitation. He's waiting for us to say, I accept that invitation. I don't know where you are in life, if you have or have not made that decision. Most of you probably here, I would assume, have. But if you haven't, a simple prayer of humility, asking the Lord to come into your life, asking him to forgive you of your sins. We all sin. You're in good company. Asking him to redeem the days. He will, by his promise, indwell you with his Holy Spirit. As you commit to know him through reading his word, fellowshipping with other people, coming to church, you get to grow in strength of character, strength of mind, strength of body. The kinds of decisions that he leads us to result in all of those things. So, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone opens up that door, I'll come into him and he with me. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. That, when I finally heard it, which I'd never heard it before, that changed my life. I went to church on an invitation by a dear person that I respected. And although I'd been to churches and other places, I'd never heard that simple message that God wants to have a relationship with me. And all I need to do is accept it. He has a gift. He's offering it here. It's his Son. The only thing he asks for us to do is to take that gift and receive it as our own. And then from that begins your spiritual journey, your life, your relationship. You become, as what the Bible says, born again. That is an incredible offer. And when I heard that, I did not hesitate to react and respond to that. Because where I was, I knew that I did not have that peace. I did not have that assurance of my ultimate destination. I did not have godly motives. I didn't know how to live life. I was actually inept at living life. In coming to Christ, and then in diving into his word as a believer, God every day reveals to me through his word how to live, who I am, what he has done for me, who he is. And that has been the transformation in my life. Let us pray. Father, we come before you, acknowledging you as God, acknowledging you as Savior. And Father, I remember having been invited to open my heart to you by someone else, and hearing that message of hope, that gospel, I responded. And I've never looked back with regret. You have kept your promises as you always do. Because of what you have done with your son, Jesus, dying on the cross, paying the penalties for my sins, offering me eternal hope, offering me salvation, filling me with your Spirit, leading me to repentance, working in my life to work out that sanctification. Because of that, Lord, I can say I am delivered, I am healed, I am free, and he who the Lord sets free is free indeed. Lord, for anyone here that would like to do the same thing, this prayer, Father, I pray that you would move in their heart to repeat it as in their mind and in their heart as we pray it. Lord God, I come to you and I acknowledge that I am in desperate need of you. You are God, and I humble myself before you and I acknowledge you as God. I ask you to forgive me for my sins, to cleanse me from any unrighteousness. I receive your Son Jesus into my life as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to indwell me by your Holy Spirit. And I ask you to surround me with the resources, the people, the love, the strength, the conviction to follow you and your ways. Lead me to the individuals, to the church where I can grow in my faith, Lord. Show me through reading your word what you would have me do, Lord. I commit my life to you from this day forward, and I turn my back on all other things to follow you, Lord Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. And for those here that already know the Lord, I pray upon them that you would give them by your Spirit conviction, godly convictions, Lord, discipline, love, peace, draw their thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Lead them on that path of maturity and help them to be fruitful to make an impact for you. How we love you and we praise you. I thank you for this church. I pray your blessings upon the leadership here, Pastor, my brother, Darren. I pray upon him your blessings. Give him the wisdom to continue to set a vision for where this church would go. I pray that you'd surround him with people to support him and encourage him, challenge him, to help him, Lord. And that, Lord, you would use this place to bring about healing, growth, help, and service that honors you. And to that end, we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, y'all. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, brother.